is the third chapter. Romans chapter 3 tonight. And verse 4. Romans chapter 3 and verse 4. Paul's writing here to the Roman church. And he kind of makes an exclamation point here. He's stopping and he's getting ready to say, all sin falls short of glory of God. He's ready to go into chapter 6 and verse 23 and say the wages of sin is death. But he stops here because he wants to make the point before he gets to all of sin and falling short of the glory of God. He says here, God forbid, yea, let God be true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings and mightest overcome when thou art judged. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, tonight we come before your very throne of grace, Father, realizing let you be true and every man a liar. Father, help us to focus on the truth of your Son and of your life. And Father, of your Word. Help us to present this Word in season, out of season, no matter what. And Father, though we face trials and troubles and tribulations, Father, let us stand up and be accountable to you. And help us continue to present the Word of God, no matter what happens. Father, we know the road is littered with all kinds of obstacles. But we know that you are greater than any obstacle that we have in our way. And Father, if we put our trust and our faith in you, Father, all things will come to a great end. Because all good things work for the good of them that love God. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Let God be true and every man a liar. Now that ought to be enough, shouldn't it? It ought to be enough when we talk to somebody. It ought to be enough when we witness. But it seems at that point, they'll say, let God be true and every man a liar. But when it comes to what God has to say, suddenly it's changed. Suddenly man, he has become God, and God has become man. And we can see that. Well, let God be true and every man a liar when it comes to the name of the church. In Romans, the 16th chapter, Romans chapter 16 and verse 16, the Bible says, salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. Now let God be true and every man a liar. Now I want to say, the churches of Christ salute you. Now when we bring this forward to people and bring it right down on the table, it seems to be a problem. And yet they'll proclaim, let God be true and every man a liar. But he says here, the churches of Christ salute you. Now we need to understand, and we already know, most of us know, that Jesus is the bridegroom, the church is the bride, and we're betrothed to Jesus Christ. And so, it is his church. But when you talk to somebody, it doesn't matter. Well, it doesn't matter what you call the church. Well, it absolutely does, because it says, let God be true and every man a liar. And we all say, amen, amen. And yet, when the name of the church comes up, it really doesn't matter what name you name the church. And yet, God says, it's the church of Christ. It's his church. And I don't want to make a fuss with anybody, but it's not the Christian church. It's not our church, it's his church. In reality, that's what it is, isn't it? It's his church. It's Christ's church. It's not the Christian church. None of us died on the cross of Calvary. Nobody spread us out on the tree. Nobody grabbed a hold of a hammer and nails and drove them into our hands and our feet. In reality, it's the church of Christ. That's where we need to stand. It makes a difference what we call the church. Well, why, preacher, come on. Does it really matter? Well, who died for the church? Jesus did. He purchased it, the Bible says, with His own blood. It drives me crazy when people say, well, it doesn't matter. Well, then if, you know, you have a store and you can put my name on it. Doesn't matter. Or if you're married, let somebody else's last name be upon your wife. It doesn't matter, right? Really doesn't matter what, you know, what they call her. There's not much in a name, is there? Until we see what God said, let God be true and every man a liar. It seems to be a problem when we present that aspect of the Word of God. Let God be true and every man a liar. Well, what should we call ourselves? Well, let God be true and every man a liar, right? Well, Acts the 11th chapter and verse 26, this is a simple sermon, but it's so relevant today because everybody wants to go everywhere else but the Word of God. The Bible says here, and when he had found him, he brought him into Antioch, and it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves together with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Baptists first in Antioch. No, wait a second. I missed that. The disciples were called Methodists first in Antioch. No, wait a second. The disciples were first called Catholics at Antioch. No, wait a second. The disciples were first called Presbyterian at Antioch. The disciples were first called Pentecostals at Antioch. Now, I know this is hard, and I know you don't like it, but I really don't care. It's the Word of God. Let God be true, and every man a liar. Carson likes it. Now, it really doesn't mean anything what you call yourself, right? Well, I can find out a lot by when I ask somebody what they are. Like one guy said to me, he said, well, what are you? I remember this one when I first became a Christian and maybe a year or something. He said, what are you? I said, I'm a Christian. He said, no, but what are you? I said, I'm a Christian. What are you? I'm a Christian. You ever go to the hospital and try to sign in as a Christian? They want a hyphenated Christian. Except God's Word doesn't have a hyphenated Christian. He's got Christians and that's it. Why would you want any other name? Here's the one that died on the cross of Calvary. It's Christ's own. And so when I talk to people and say, you know, well, what are you? They'll say, well, I'm a Catholic or I'm a Baptist or, you know, that's what you are. Now, if you're saved, you'll be a Christian. What other name could you get? Well, let God be true and every man a liar. But people say, when I say that, they say, well, you're being too negative. Well, what did God say? Let God be true and every man a liar, right? So what are we going to take? We going to take the Word of God, or are we just going to do what we want to do? Well, he said, let God be true and every man what? A liar. It's funny how we want to turn our back on the truth of the Word because it's too hard for some people and it might turn some people off. And so we don't want to talk about denominationalism. We don't want to highlight that. But why are we here? Are we here to win people or soothe somebody's sensibilities? Now, I'm not saying go and beat them in the head with a hammer. Use a club. I mean, it'll do something good. No, I'm not saying that. But listen, we shouldn't back off. There's been so many revivals I went to and said, wait a second. We got some Baptists in the audience, and don't you say anything about Baptists. Well, immediately, I'm not going to say anything. I'm not changing the sermon. If the sermon has that in there, I'm going to use it. I'm going to use it because we're here to convict. And most of the time, I won't use the denominational name, but I'll use what they teach. Or you'll definitely use the plan of salvation. That's going to smack people. You ever preach somewhere? I preached somewhere in a Baptist church when her grandmother died and when her grandfather died. And do you know how many I preached to? It went over their heads about 30,000 feet. But two people got it. You see, when you mention baptism for the forgiveness of sin and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, they think they've done that. Because we've all been baptized, right? It doesn't matter how. And that's what Jim's messing with over there in Illinois. Well, they think one baptism is as good as another, so they call him up and think they're going to change his mind on the plan of salvation. We just have a little talk with Jim, it'll be all right. No, that dog ain't going to hunt. Let God be true and every man a liar. There is not a name that you can use any greater than just Christian. I'm just a Christian. You go to the hospital, well, what kind of Christian? I'm a Christian. Well, what kind of Christian? I'm a Christian. That's all I am. That's all I want to be, is a Christian. In 1 Corinthians 11 chapter, I like what he says there about being blood bought in the sixth chapter of 1 Corinthians. In verse 19, when he talks about being blood, what, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God? You're not your own, for you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God. Now how are you going to glorify God by calling yourself something that God never intended for you to call yourself? Well, you're getting awful picky now, preacher. Well, all I can say to you right now tonight is, let God be true and every man a liar. So if somebody comes up and says, that's all right, guess what? He's a liar. This is what God says. It's hard. Will it win you friends? No, probably not. Will it make you have enemies? Oh, yeah. Let God be true and every man a liar. In 2 Timothy 2:15, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, a lot of you can quote this. He says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, let God be true and every man a liar. He says, study to show thyself approved. Now, what are we going to study? 2 Timothy 3:16, 17 said the word of God is what? Profitable. For teaching. Well, he says, study to show thyself approved. Now here, did he say, what are we supposed to study? How about the Book of Mormon? He says, study the Book of Mormon to show yourself approved. Does it say that? No. How about the catechism of the Catholic Church that I had? Study to show thyself a Catholic. It says, study to show thyself approved of God. And the Bible says in John 8:32, he said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And this is the truth. Thy word is truth. John 17:17 says, thy word is truth. What are we supposed to... Now, wait a second. Let God be true and every what? Every man a liar. Are we supposed to have the Book of Methodist discipline? Or are we to have the word of God? Now, this is relevant in the Church of Christ, too. Because the Church of Christ has another book. We don't have one here. We got a shortened version. That is the book they bring out when they have a problem. They bring that out every once in a while. The bylaws. Study to show that bylaws approved of God. I remember I was preaching up at Maysville where Troy Northrup was, and I was delivering the message on the eldership, and He called me and asked me to come there. I thought, you know, everything was kosher. I didn't know anything. And I'm telling you what, they got absolutely livid. The elders jumped up. We're not listening to this. It's the word. It's the word. I was in a bee's nest and didn't know it. And they walked out. And the deacons got up and they said, I was right. Which didn't make the elders happy, but they'd already left. Let God be true and every man a liar. See, the thing that made them mad was God's word. See, we get these bylaws, and suddenly the bylaws have precedent over the Bible. This is what we're going to be judged by. And I tell you what, every bylaw that's ever been made by man on the day of judgment will be burned to crisp when Jesus breaks the sky. But the thing that will last forever is what He says His word will last forever. Heaven and earth will what? Pass away. But my word will abide forever. Let God be true and every man a liar. In Psalms 119, and verse 11, David knew this. I like what he says here. He says, the Book of Mormon have I hid in my heart. No, he doesn't say that, does he? The Book of Catholic Catechism I've hid in my heart. The bylaws I've hid in my heart. He says, thy word I have hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. This is the thing that will take you to heaven. This is it. We're going to be judged by it. We're going to stand in awe before the Savior, and the books are going to be open. And the book of life is going to be open, and we're going to be judged according to what is written in the books. You read the Revelation, the 20th chapter, you'll see that great white throne judgment, and the great and the small stand before God. And the books are open, and the book of life is open, and every man's going to be judged according to what is written in the book. The book. The singular book. This book. Let God be true and every man a liar. What I like about that verse is this. Paul finally understood what that meant. He finally understood what that meant because he persecuted the church. He persecuted the apostles. He persecuted Jesus. Well, he's persecuting the church. That's why Jesus said, you're persecuting. Saul, why persecutest thou me? Who was he persecuting? The church. And when he persecutes the church, he's persecuting Jesus. Thy word I have hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. It's a cold, hard fact, but let God be true and every man a liar. And nothing could be more plain than to go to the plan of salvation. Let God be true and every man a liar. Does God ever say in the Word of God, repeat after me? Does He ever? Now listen, raise your hand if you know that, because I'm going to give you $10,000. I ain't got it, but I'll go get a loan because I know it ain't there. Repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I accept you in my heart. You will not find it, but how many are preaching it? How many churches, how many people on TV are preaching that? Where is it? And so I say, let God be true, and every man a liar. You'll never have a bigger fight than when you try to present the clear, concise, true plan of salvation. You'll have the biggest fight there. You'll have it there and there. There's where you're going to have it. I was supposed to go to a church of God that had communion Sunday on the 10th or 11th, right after Christian Olympics. They called me on the way up there and changed the date on me. Hopefully I'll be able to go and to preach the truth of the gospel. But the problem we'll have up there is not saying I believe in Jesus. Hallelujah, amen. The problem will be right here and right there. Why? Because the blood's there. Satan, he doesn't want you to contact the blood. He knows that without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. He knows that. So when you tell somebody, when somebody comes up and says, well, come to the prayer altar and pray through. Again, I say, where is that? Let God be true and what? Every man a liar. It is not there. It is not there that you're sprinkled upon. It's not there that you're poured upon. It's not there that you're baptized for an outward sign of an inward grace. It's not there. You can't find that in the Word of God. But you can find this. Now, I know Jesus had a little lapse when he did this. And we can all forgive him. When he said in Mark 16:16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He believeth not shall be damned. He really didn't mean that. Oh, did he? Why do we say he did? Because let God be true and every man a liar. Now, you can argue against that night and day, and you'll go to hell in a handbasket. I mean, you want to get on the quick path to hell? Just light it up, buddy. Get your skates on because you're going to go through the ice and then you're going to go and there ain't going to be no ice. That's just the truth of it. I could sugarcoat it for you and tell you you're all right, everybody's okay, but I want you to get to heaven. And I really don't care if you get mad at me. Because in reality, you're not getting mad at me, you're getting mad at Jesus. Because he's the one that said it. 1 Peter 3:21, people say, well, you just show me one place in the Bible where it says your baptism saved you, and I'll do it. You see, you show them, and what do they say? No. You see, what happens is, let God be true and every man a liar. See, man says, you don't have to. God says you do. Man says, you don't have to take the Lord's Supper every week, every first day of the week. God says you do. Man says you don't have to be baptized for the forgiveness of sin. God says you do. Man says you can say the sinner's prayer. God says you don't. Man says you can go to the prayer altar. God says, no, you don't. Let God be true and every man a liar. We're going to stand before the judgment bar of God. And I'm going to tell you something. That if I didn't believe the Church of Christ was right, you think I'd be here? You're out of your loony bin. When Judy started going to the Church of Christ and I was going to Catholic Church, I tried to prove the Church of Christ wrong. I mean, I got that Bible. I'm going to show her. Yeah. wait a second here. Matthew 8:14, Peter's got a mother-in-law. I'm in trouble here. There's something the matter. Matthew 23:9, call no man father. Wait a minute. 1 Timothy 3, a bishop must have children. Ah! He got to be married. You know, I can find it somewhere. It's in here somewhere. I know they're wrong somewhere. You see, I was blessed in one thing that when we read the Word of God and the people that we met preached the truth. Did it make me feel good? No. Did I get hostile? Absolutely. And Judy said, preacher wants to come and see you. And I said, well, you want the new door? because he's going out. And she told him, stay away from him because he'll run. And I would have. But I kept reading and reading. And the word will convict you of where you're at if you'll let it. Why? Because let God be true and every man a liar. Tonight, if you've never obeyed the gospel plan of salvation, we ask you to come believing that Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, as Seth comes, we're going to stand and sing our song invitation. The repentance that is to come in your life is to turn 180 degrees. I know it's hard, man. I had to do it. But if you don't love Jesus, don't come up. If you're not committed to it, stay in the pew. Go out just as lost as you was when you came here. Because you getting dunked ain't going to save you. That's not going to save you without belief and without repentance and without confessing Jesus Christ and you meaning it. If there's no repentance, and I'll tell you what, in the Church of Christ, there's a whole lot of people that's been dunked. We're so in a hurry to get them in the baptistry that we forgot about repentance. And that's the number one thing that we need to preach more than anything else. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. John the Immerser spoke those words. When John went to jail in prison, Jesus spoke those same words. And the first words of Peter's sermon was, repent. Repent and be what? Immersed, every one of you, for the forgiveness of sin and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is unto you and to all afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words, he did exhort them, save yourself from this wicked generation. And that day, 3,000 obeyed the gospel. And probably 100,000 walked away from it, just like you can do tonight. But remember this. One of these days, Jesus is going to break the sky. In Noah's day, one of these days, it's going to rain. No, it ain't going to rain. It's not going to rain, and Jesus is not going to come back. But I'm telling you what, he is. And if you wait too late, you're late forever. Let God be true. And every man a liar. Let's stand and sing our song invitation.